Let's take a look beyond the headlines with Peter Dykstra now. Peter's with Environmental Health News at EHN.org and DailyClimate.org, and he joins us from Atlanta, Georgia. Hey there, Peter. We're getting a bit tired of the snow here in New England. What's going on with you?
Weather's kind of nice down here. You ought to come down. We're going to talk about some big rebranding. Statoil, the Norwegian oil giant, they're the 27th biggest oil company in the world in terms of sales, but they're still pretty big and they're huge in Norway. They're about to change their name and get oil out of the name.
Yeah, what are they going to call themselves?
The new name is Equinor. It's one of those new names you can't quite figure out. Turns out the Nor at the end stands for Norway. The Equa, we're not, can't figure out what that stands for.
Well, it could stand for equity, Peter, because they put all that oil wealth from Statoil, I think since sometime in the mid-90s, into the Sovereign Wealth Fund of Norway, which is now worth over $1 trillion. In fact, I think it's the biggest or nearly the biggest sovereign wealth fund in the world. So what's going on with them?
Well, I'd love to get me a piece of the $1 trillion, but Equinor is still going to stay in the oil business, but they want to make sure that their new name and their new branding reflects the fact that they're not just an oil company, that they're into natural gas, clean energy, and a whole lot of other things.
Yeah, maybe electricity. I think half the cars there are electric. Hey, what else do you have for us today?
We're going to talk about a positive story that sounds new, but it's actually something that has its roots in the 19th century. There are cherry orchards in northern Michigan that, instead of using more pesticides, are using a small falcon, the American kestrel, to protect the crop and make sure that other birds that are picking cherries off the cherry tree don't get to do their work and have their meals.
Huh. So, in other words, the falcons are eating those other birds?
They are, and it happens in other areas of the world, too. In New Zealand, there's another species of falcon that's used to protect crops. In some farms, they're using owls to pick off rodents to protect crops, even bluebirds to pick off insects and make sure that less pesticides are used in certain areas.
So how long has this been going on?
Well, you know what? Back in the 19th century, the United States Department of Agriculture in the 1880s had a unit of economic ornithology. That's what it sounds like, birds for money. And that group studied how to use birds and possibly other animals to protect crops. They lasted until the 1940s. And the reason they went out of business and there was no more unit of economic ornithology was that wonder chemicals like the pesticide DDT came along, and we know what happened there.
Uh-oh. Hey, what do you have from the History Vault for us this week?
Well, we're going to stick with DDT. March 28th, 1960, the Supreme Court heard an appeal on a case brought by Long Islanders about DDT spraying to eliminate gypsy moths. The court threw the case out in spite of the fact that the plaintiffs presented evidence that cow's milk was contaminated with DDT residue, that the drift from DDT spraying was going into communities and potentially harming humans, that it was clearly harming birds.
And what was the vote on the Supreme Court?
The dissenter who wrote a dissenting opinion and cited all these things was somebody we talked about recently. The closest thing to a tree-hugging justice of the Supreme Court we've ever had, William O. Douglas. Somebody else who followed the case very closely and turned it into one of the greatest environmental books of all time was Rachel Carson. She used the evidence from the case and her own research as a government scientist, and 2 years later published the book Silent Spring, which eventually was the key to getting DDT banned in the United States in 1972.
Yes, thank you, Rachel. And thank you, Peter Dykstra of Environmental Health News at EHN.org and DailyClimate.org. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Okay, Steve, thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
And there's more on these stories at our website, loe.org.